Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to
Fun Men About It
on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And we're your co-hosts through this weekly journey of all things fermented.
Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We are fresh back from a little hiatus. Heritage Radio is taking off before and revamping before the fall season. We're really excited to be back. I'm high on life. Because Mary and I have had a very, very fun last few weeks.
Yeah, so our little radio summer break was pretty awesome. First of all, we got to check out a bunch of great local craft beer bars here in New York City that we had not checked out before. So a huge thanks to the website Brooklyn for they sell these awesome craft beer books, and so we put our beer book into use. So that was a really cool thing to do.
What does that mean, craft beer book?
It's basically a craft beer book. I purchased them online, and it means we get to walk into any of the, I don't know, there's like 30 bars in the book, and get a great craft beer for $1, check out the bar. We played some skee ball, some pool, all kinds of fun. Anyway, it was cool because there's a lot of really, it's just really refreshing to be able to walk into these bars we've never heard of and never really thought of going into and seeing such a nice selection of really delicious craft beer. So it's very cool. We live in a very, very good city. So we have we did a bunch of other stuff.
That's right. You served a durian short mead.
I did. I worked on some new recipes during the break. So I was lucky enough to be invited to serve some of my beverages at a Malaysian pop-up dinner in Brooklyn. Our friend Josh Bernstein put it together. So I did several riffs on traditional Malaysian beverages, not generally fermented beverages, but I did fermented riffs. One is, as Kuzme mentioned, was a durian short mead.
Durian short mead. The best part of speed brewing is that the aroma of durian was only in our house for like 5 minutes.
That's true. So for some of you that don't know, durian is a notoriously aromatic fruit that seems to either attract a love or hate reaction or elicit a love or hate reaction. I love it. Chris hates it. But yep. It worked out really well. I brought back some freeze-dried durian from Vietnam, and I made that. And actually, a lot of people drank it. You even said it wasn't bad, right?
It wasn't bad.
It was a miracle. Anyway.
Still has the distinct aroma of pig feces, as described on Wikipedia. Exactly.
I disagree. I thought it was very complex and delicious, and a lot of people agree. Anyway, I also did a fermented limeade, a fermented a mango black tea short mead, as well as a fermented rose water beverage. So these are all riffs, not only on traditional Malaysian beverages, but also on recipes that I have in my book, Speed Brewing, that came out in June. So it's been a lot of fun to develop some new recipes.
I was going to say, while you did that, I went to Soured in September at Captain Lawrence. We live in a really great time where there are a bunch of sour beers out there, and they're getting better. Not all sour beers are good, I will admit, but there was a really great array of sour beers at Captain Lawrence Brewing Company. It's their second year running Soured in September. It's an event to look out for. It got bigger this year, expansive, and some really, really delicious and inspiring things there.
And then we also were really lucky enough to both attend Hop and Brew School out in Yakima Valley. We're going to have more on that later. And then the other cool thing we did this weekend, actually, is we took a great cheese class with David Asher, who's the author of the brand new book, The Art of Natural Cheesemaking. And we are actually going to have him as a guest on later this fall. But it was an absolutely amazing cheese class where we're chomping at the bit to start making our own cheese. We're going to...
And if you want to hear more from him, he was actually on the show Cutting the Curd about 2 hours ago.
Yep.
Also archived on heritageradionetwork.org.
Absolutely. So we have a couple of activities coming up, both local and not local. So first up is this weekend's Blocktoberfest. Kuzme?
Blocktoberfest is the second annual event happening here in New York City. It features all New York City breweries. It's like I said, it's a really neat time right now, especially for New York City. So the New York City Brewers Guild, this is a fundraiser, and also in anticipation of New York City Beer Week, which will happen in February. So this is kind of our mid-year fundraiser and just celebration of all things New York. So we're having our own kind of block party, Oktoberfest kind of thing. Some really great beers will be there. I'll be there pouring on behalf of Kelso Brewing Company, Greenpoint Beer Works. Please come. It's $10 admission, and then you pay for full pours or half pours by the glass, or you get tickets and exchange them for them. You can find out more information about that if you go to NewYorkCityBrewersGuild.com/Blocktoberfest.
All right. Also on the same day is a little event you might have heard called Zwan's a Day. So if you're interested in drinking some killer Belgian sour ales, you can Google that. There's a lot of bars around the country and around the world that will be participating. Also coming up, Chris and I are headed to the Great American Beer Festival again this year. We will probably be definitely at the Thursday night and Saturday afternoon session, as well as probably the Friday night for a little bit. We're also going to go to Beers Made by Walking, and we'll be around town. So if you happen to see us, please say hello.
Tweet us out. Follow our happenings. That's all.
So, no, we didn't say Prost. We have a local event. While unfortunately we are going to miss this due to being at GABF, there's a really great local event called Prost. It's being put on by the local brew club, the Bruminaries, here in Brooklyn, New York, in Industry City. It's going to be on Saturday, September 26th from 1 to 5 p.m. Tickets are still available, although they are going fast. So you can go to eventbrite.com and put in Prost, P-R-O-S-T, exclamation point.
Or visit Bruminaries.com and even join their homebrew club. They're a real great homebrew club. They do a lot of experiments. They do hop experiments, yeast experiments, and they're just a really great creative and talented brewers and friends.
And it's going to be a super cool event. So if we were not out of town, we would definitely be going. One more last shout out. We've had Jason Saylor on our show before. He is starting a brewery called Strong Rope Brewery. It's going to be a New York State farmhouse brewery. He's been working with a lot of the local maltsters and hop brewers, and he's an great guy, fantastic brewer, and he has a Kickstarter going to help build his draft system and taproom bar. So he has a space, he's getting work done, but he just needs a little extra help. So if you go to kickstarter.com and search for Strong Rope Brewery, you can check that out, and please help fund Jason Saylor. It's going to be a great brewery. Great.
Thanks for listening
room.
To the show. That was great. We'll talk to you next week. Sorry, I feel like that was a lot of events. We're 7 minutes in, and I can't wait to get to our guest today. Mary and I are straight back from Yakima, Washington. Last year, around this time I came back, I was returning from Hop Union's Hop and Brew School. I went for the Nano Brewery and Home Brewer segment of last year's event, and the whole time I was there, I was just, man, I can't wait. I really wish Mary was here for this. She would love this. This year, she came out for the Nano Brewing segment of it. I went to the larger Pro Brewing segment, and it was just absolutely amazing. And our guest today
is Melody Meyer, who is the Director of Marketing for YCH Hops, Yakima Chief Hop Union. Welcome, Melody.
Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. We're so excited to have you. So as Chris mentioned, we were both at Brew School. Chris came to the earlier session. I came to the Nano and Home Brewing, and it was amazing. I mean, I'm not even the biggest hophead out there, and I was blown away. So anyway, we just would love to share the whole experience with everybody. So let's start by, what is YCH Hops?
Absolutely. YCH Hops is the hop product brand for Yakima Chief Hop Union. And for brewers, both home brewers and commercial brewers alike, that might sound familiar. It was two companies merged together in 2014. That's Yakima Chief Incorporated. They specialized in macro brewing, and the Hop Union, who specialized in micro brewing and home brewers, and they combined operations. So now we are Yakima Chief Hop Union, or for short, we just go by YCH Hops.
Awesome. And tell us, what do you, so you're the director of marketing. What does that encompass?
It encompasses everything for us. We do all of our marketing internally, so that would mean anything from website design to event coordinating, advertisements, you know, just making sure that brewers really have the information that they need regarding all of our hops and, you know, any of the products that we might sell for brewing purposes.
Cool. So
how old is Yakima Chief and Hop Union? How old were these companies before merging?
Oh, that's a tricky question. That actually is the hardest question I get asked, because there's a series of mergers and whatnot were really common in the industry. So it's hard to put an exact date on when things began, because you can trace the parent companies back and the expertise for literally more than 100 years and all the way back to Europe. So we usually like to highlight the fact Yakima Chief was a little bit younger. Hop Union's been around for about 30 years, but our growers, who are our owners, and that's kind of what sets us apart, we're a 100% grower-owned company. They actually have had commercial farming operations for hops in the Yakima Valley for more than 100 years. Some of them are sixth and seventh generation farmers. So that's kind of probably the better date to go by, yeah, in terms of kind of how long we've been around.
So let's start by talking, because I know, you know, I've been homebrewing since 2006. I've definitely bought a lot of hops at my local homebrew store, and I even, you know, grew hops in my backyard at one point. And I think a lot of people also have done that, whether they're homebrewers or even pro brewers. A lot of pro brewers, you know, grow a few hop plants maybe in their side yards or on the property of their tasting room or brew pub or whatever. But I think a lot of people out there don't really understand how, unless they've been to, you know, to something like brew and hop school or hop and brew school, how the hop industry really works. So let's kind of I'd love to hear kind of a brief overview on how, you know, particularly the USA hop industry and the Yakima Valley hop industry works.
Yeah, absolutely. The perspective I'll give is obviously just our own at Yakima Chief Hop Union. Certain suppliers kind of have a little bit of a different business model. But especially in today's market, a lot of how the hop industry works is based off of contracts both for the current year and into the future. We recommend usually doing a 3 to 5 year contract. And the reason we do that is it's a communication tool for us. And especially being grower-owned, that's the best tool we have. So it kind of works in a way that, like, a brewery or a typical business, you know, is going to forecast what their production or their needs are. They communicate it back to us and say, you know, here's what we anticipate needing for all of our beers, broken down by variety, volume, and pack size. We then take that information to our growers after harvest each year, and we say, here's the anticipated demand for, you know, next year and all the way up to potentially even 5 years out. And obviously, as we get closer to those harvest years, those numbers tighten up. And that's how our growers are able to go out and source new, you know, rootstock, to buy new land, you know, and really make that process work. And then they, of course, plant and grow and communicate back to us, here's what we're going to be able to deliver. So we like to think of our communication channel almost as like an infinity sign, where we're always working with brewers, communicating it to the growers, and then those growers, our owners, are responding and really planting based on brewer need. What it does mean is that if you're a new brewer, it sometimes can be hard to get some of the varieties, you know, that you need. And I think we've seen in the last few years, the industry as a whole, there's been a lot of smaller operations kind of pop up throughout the country. And, you know, those are great. They definitely help, you know, meet a certain niche and a need. For us, to give a little perspective, a commercial hop operation is going to be at least 600 acres in our area.
Wow. That's pretty sizable. I mean, yeah, that's one thing I was amazed at, is just, you know, even like when we were driving down or driving to the farm or your facility, you know, just hop field after hop field after hop field. And that's not like anything I'd ever seen before.
And going back to, you know, breweries opening up and a lot of that the smaller guys that don't need that much at one time. I really appreciate it. I had a chance to speak to JR there. You guys have a brewery and planning kind of program that you intend to start or implement in months to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing, I mean, another thing the contracts do, which you kind of talked about, is, first of all, it's important for people to keep in mind that hops are not, I mean, they're an agricultural food product. So it's not like you can just whip out, you know, if you are a bakery, for instance, and you get a cake order, you can't just go out and buy the ingredients and whip it out the next day. This is a crop. The farmers have to, all of your farmers and growers have to plan ahead. And hops obviously don't just grow overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things, you know, that when you ask kind of what is being a director of marketing entail, a lot of it is just getting the information out there. You know, because people even think, oh, then that means it's a year-long cycle. Well, not necessarily. It actually means it can be up to more like a year and a half, because if somebody comes and communicates a need to us just after we've planted a current year, you have to wait until you plant the next year and then give it 6 months of growing time. So the turnaround time, depending on when that information is communicated, can really be a year and a half, you know, in order for our growers to be able to respond. And then you tack on the time of a baby plant and the production not being as, you know, high yielding as a more mature yard. And you can easily see why we recommend contracting or communicating your needs 3 to 5 years in advance.
Right, absolutely. And especially even though hops can be stored, I mean, you know, we were at Peralt Farms, so we got to see the entire harvesting and, you know, we got to see your production and or the production facilities as well as the storage facilities. And while hops, there is a certain amount of time that hops can be stored, they are, you know, they are a product that can expire. So that's another thing I think that it's really for both homebrewers and brewers to keep in mind is that hops, you know, if for some reason one hop kind of goes out of favor for brewers, it's not you guys are still going to have it in stock and, you know, it needs to be used up within a certain amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about going back to, you know, all these fields of hop farms. Yakima Valley, so you guys are, if not the largest, one of the largest hop growing regions in the world, correct?
Yes, it is the number one producing area for the nation, but Germany actually is number one producing for the world.
Okay, as Germany as a country?
Yes.
Okay, but I mean, it was just amazing. So how many growers do you guys source your hops from?
So we are owned by 11 different grower owners, but we also purchase additional hops to meet, you know, demand and needs. So all in all, we end up working with just over about 40 growers.
Cool. We're actually going to take a really brief break. We will be back with Melody from YCH Hops momentarily.
A minute about it.
L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Welcome back to Ferment About It, heritageradionetwork.org. This is episode 131. We are talking to Melanie Meyer of Yakima Valley, or Yakima Chief Hop Union Hops, YCH Hops.
Welcome back from the break. So let's jump right back into Hop and Brew School. So first of all, let's just talk about Hop and Brew School. Basically, is you guys offer, it's a two-day session. That's, you have two different two-day sessions. You have one that's aimed more at commercial breweries and one that's aimed more at, you know, nano, new, and home brewers. Mm-hmm. And basically, there are seminars throughout the morning from 8 a.m. to around noon, both mornings, a variety of seminars. We can talk a little bit about those in a second. And then in the afternoon, we got to tour your production facilities as well as tour a farm, Peralt Farm, specifically, and see hops being, you know, not only harvested but processed and being sent over to you guys. So why did you guys start Hop and Brew School?
You know, I'm not actually sure. It's a 12th annual event, and I've only been here for 6 years. So really the original idea, you know, I'm not sure. But I think one of the things is our company has always been really interested because of the artistry and craft and the community and craft, was looking for a way that we could connect with our customers personally. And it kind of started out there, as far as I've heard, you know, or been able to talk to people that were here that first year. But it's grown since then. It started out with like 20 people.
Wow.
This year we brought in over 300. So, you know, I think it's just one of those, over time it's gradually evolved. And I think even the reasoning kind of why we do that, from just connecting with customers to really even this year using it as an opportunity to just offer an educational experience, and sure, it's a lot of fun too, but an experience for people to come of breweries of all sizes and really see how hop production and harvest does work, you know, in one of the nation's top producing areas.
Yeah, and that, I think that is what I was most impressed with. So I have an undergrad in biology, and I did 2 years of grad school in horticulture, not working with hops. I was working with onions. So I had a horticulture background, and that was one of the most fascinating things from my standpoint is kind of seeing the whole process and how complex it really is. From, you know, we're given a tour of the experimental hop fields by Jason Pearl himself, and then we were able to see, you know, how the hops are harvested and how they're processed, how the cones are taken off, how they're kilned, and then how they're packaged in bales and then sent to you guys for storage, you know, how hops are assessed, sensory analysis, just the whole process. Not only are there so many steps along the way, but every step, I mean, has been tweaked unbelievably. It was super interesting to see the Peralt hop harvesting machine. And then we got to hear, one of the seminars was Patrick Smith, who I believe is either fourth or fifth generation farmer.
Fourth generation
mm-hmm. farmer.
Yeah.
And, you know, to hear what they're on their farm, they've been putting in solar panels, and they're, you know, a lot of the hop farms are doing experiments with cover crops, and they're, you know, designing software to tweak their kilning. And I thought it's just really amazing how complex and how much thought and care goes into, you know, not only growing the best hops that these farmers possibly can, but making sure that the quality, you know, last until they, you know, reach the brewer, home brewer, consumer. I was just totally blown away. And also just the sheer scale of it. So I will say I have a ton more respect for the hop than I definitely did going in.
The seasonal manpower needed to get all that done is pretty crazy.
Yes, I totally agree. So I was just blown away. I think if for those of you out there listening, if you have a chance to do this next year, I mean, first of all, we got to go in while, you know, in the midst of the harvest. And basically these machines and these farms are running 24/7 until the harvest is done. And it's not only the scale, but just like I said, the care and the thought and all the technology, and just it was an absolutely amazing experience.
So I found out about it through my hop union rep locally, Peter LaVillez, who has since left. How does a home brewer find out about Hop and Brew School, and how does the information get disseminated?
Yeah, that's a great question. So So we try and hit people from a variety of different sources. I probably shouldn't say hit people, but, you know, we try and make the information available. The best way is just our website, but I'm happy to say we already know the dates for next year. So if listeners are interested, they can just mark their calendars for the week of August 30th through September 2nd. The new Nano and Homebrewer class will be the 1st and 2nd of September. And it's pretty simple. We open registration online at ychops.com every the first Monday in June every year at 8 a.m. So if you just register then, that class is open to anybody that has an interest in coming to see the hop experience. We also have email newsletters they can sign up for now. We have it on social media. Honestly, too, we love to talk to people. So if they want to even just call or email us direct, we're happy to have a conversation and, you know, let people know who some of the presenters are and what's going to be happening that year. So really a lot of different ways people can get in touch with us regarding registration.
And you guys also have a blog, too, now, right, that's relatively new, or the new kind of YCH Hops blog?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a brand new blog, and it is at ychops.com, and it's called The Hopwire. And we post about every 2 weeks, but we have crop updates, we have acreage reports, information on new varieties, updates on our news and events. So even if someone wants to go and, you know, see a review of Hop and Brew School, we just posted a couple of blogs kind of chronicling the experience we had last week. So they can always, you know, read that, see some pictures, and kind of get an idea for what it entails, too.
Awesome. And I also am planning a blog post on my personal blog, but I haven't had time to do it yet. So Chris and I are going to put a bunch of photos on Facebook as well on our Foment About It page for viewers out there that want to check out more of our experience.
Speaking of the acreage reports and contracts, and how, so if most of the crops are contracted out before you go, do you deliberately under contract so as to have hops available for homebrewers, and with the rising interest in the hobby, how has that affected the market, or how YCH has approached
specifically homebrewers?
Yeah, or homebrew market.
Yeah, demand across the board has just really increased in the last years, and that has, you know, spurred several conversations internally. But one of the things we decided early on in the homebrew market was that distributors were going to be our best avenue, and that was the best way that we could offer service to individual homebrewers. So our main distributors, we distribute through LD Carlson and Brewcraft USA. Mm-hmm. They have contracts with us, just like a commercial brewery. So it doesn't actually affect them as much as you might think that we're trying to, you know, reserve hops or under contract, because those distributors forecast just like a brewery, and we revisit those about every 6 months to make sure that we're always meeting the demand that they need. The awesome part about that, too, is that it also means they have access to our entire selection of hops. It's not just, you know, an individual store what they want to offer, but distributors can honestly contract any variety that we have available, and we'll package it in homebrew packaging.
Awesome. And something else that's super exciting that that some homebrewers out there might not know is there is a brand new hop that is just going to be marketed to homebrewers. We actually got to see that hop after drying before baling when we went through Peralt Farms. So that hop is the HBC 438.
Yep. Yeah, that's such an awesome thing. So for years, we have experimental hop breeding. It takes 11 years to get a hop from the point of breeding to commercialization. And so we call it the elite lines, which is about years 8 through 11. And during that time, it's not only passed agronomic efficiency tests at the field, but we're really seeking out brewers' opinions. And so this HBC 438 is an experimental hop variety in the elite line. So it's not even necessarily being released, but Jason Peralt, who kind of heads up the hop breeding company's marketing efforts and who's developed this hop, said, you know, we've always gotten feedback from commercial brewers, but what if we actually took a hop and made it specifically available for home brewers and then got feedback from that market? So it was actually his great idea, and even better, he teamed up with Ale for ALS, which is kind of spearheaded by another grower-owner family we have, the Smiths, and said, what if 100% of the proceeds from the sale of this hop went to benefit Ales for ALS? So really, it's like this awesome win-win all the way around that homebrewers have access to an experimental variety even before commercial brewers do. They can offer all the feedback in the world and know that their purchase is supporting an awesome cause in Ales for ALS and, you know, supporting research for ALS, or more commonly referred as Lou Gehrig's disease. So it's a really cool opportunity, and it should be hitting stores here. Some stores already have it.
Yeah, we, our local store does.
But especially in the next 2 weeks, you'll see it more and more.
And if a home brewer wants to get, yeah, so definitely look out for HBC 438. And if a home brewer wants to give you guys feedback, what's the best avenue? So obviously they would go to their local homebrew store, order the hop online, go ahead and experiment with whatever type of homebrew they can dream up and whatever kind of hopping schedule. And what if they really, you know, want to give you guys feedback? What is the best way to do that?
I would recommend any form of communication that's written. So email is probably the best. We have a generic email account that's hops@ychhops.com. That comes straight to me. It's not just like a generic account, but that allows us to kind of collect a lot of that feedback. You can also send us a message, honestly, even on Facebook or even through your homebrew supply store. We just recommend that it's written because that gives us the ability to pass it on to multiple parties and really make sure that we have time to review it and go through the details. So whether or not they want to send us an email, hit us up on social media, we'll have a blog post about HBC 438, even if they want to make a comment on the blog and say, hey, I've brewed with it, here's my experience. We have an eye out for all of that right now. And of course, you know, talk with your local homebrew supply shop and, you know, give them the feedback as well. We're actively out there asking for that feedback. So a lot of different ways they can do it. And, you know, if they're not comfortable writing, phone works great as well. We're happy to chat with anyone.
Cool. And I think that's a great project for homebrew clubs, is to have a mini mini club competition or a challenge. Yeah, absolutely. So homebrew clubs out there, that, yeah, I'd be in for that. If one of our locals.
Awesome.
That was another thing that I thought was cool about Hop School, is that we got to really see, I think one thing that you guys do that's really cool is that you not only give a lot of feedback back to your growers on, you know, varieties, how they're being used in brewing, all kinds of, you know, chemical analysis, sensory analysis, quality analysis. But you're also invite the brewers to visit breweries and kind of learn how the hops are being used.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the craft and homebrewing in general is such about community. And so for us, it's not just about the hops, but it's the beer. I mean, we learn from brewers all day long, regardless of their size. And we are blessed to have some great breweries in the valley, and we want to showcase that, you know. It's not just hops that make our valley great, but the breweries as well. So we love giving people the chance to talk with our breweries here, talk with each other, and really just kind of share the experience, because it's the collective knowledge that really makes us all better.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We, like we said, we had an absolutely amazing time and learned a lot.
Absolutely. Melody, thank you so much. And to all the people at YCA Chops, awesome.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us be a guest on your show. We really appreciate it. And you guys are welcome back anytime.
We'll awesome. See you next year for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So thanks tonight to our lovely engineer, Liz Smith. Our sponsor for tonight's show was Union Beer Distributors.
And thank you, the listener, for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, tell your friends. Please just subscribe to the show. Check out iTunes. Feel free to get in touch with us at heritageradionetwork.org.
We have a lot there. Heritage Radio Network hosts a ton of other awesome shows. So next up, you get to have a short clip of The Speakeasy, which is live Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Chris and I will be back with Femen About It next Monday at 7 p.m. for a GABF preview. You show
the men about.
Well, first of all, fall is my favorite season,
yeah,
for cocktails. And it's just like you said, you know, it's during harvest season, you've got all this beautiful produce and different, like, just like everything's happening during like the end of the summer and early fall.
On episode 137 of The Speakeasy, master bartender Aaron Polsky talks to host Damon Bolte on why fall is such a perfect time to make great cocktails.
There are just new ingredients that are available to us in general, you know, and that's great. Like,
accessibility and availability of spices and good quality produce on the wholesale level is awesome. And also the technology to make them work fast. So everybody, well, not everybody, but you and I know that Dave Arnold pioneered rapid infusion technique with an EC container. And of course, you can do that with a CryoVac or, as I recently discovered, a food saver with a handy food saver Tupperware canister attachment. You can make things work fast. You can experiment quickly. You can weigh things in grams. You can time how long it takes, how long you're putting suction on it, and you can get really good bitters, good infusions. And that's great in, you know, especially for the fall, because you think of fall, you think of, I mean, all jokes aside, you do think of pumpkin spice. You think of pumpkin pie, and you think of all those warm spices and squash and all that. Apples, pears, pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
I think that six years ago, it would have been difficult to find different types of cinnamon, and now you can easily get them.
Whether you know what a rapid infusion machine is, or you're a bartending novice, be sure to listen to The Speakeasy, available on Heritage Radio Network and iTunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.